Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast.
Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey, everybody. It's Rich Birch from the Unseminary Podcast. Happy Thursday. I hope your week is going well. You're getting ready for this coming weekend. You know, here at the Unseminary Podcast, we try to provide you a series of resources, training, tools, that kind of thing, that they just simply aren't teaching or training in traditional kind of ministry training environments. And today is one of those days. We have got Christy Rutter on the phone. It's an incredible interview. And she is really, I really do think that the ministry she's doing there will become a model for churches across the country. And so it's a real treat that she's on today. Listen into what she has to say, and then join us at the end of the episode because I've got a resource I want to share with you. Let's go.
This is the Unseminary Podcast, stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
All right, well, welcome to the show today. So glad that you've decided to tune in and spend some time with us. We've got Christy Rutter on the phone. She's a real expert, a veritable guru. Thanks so much for being on the show today, Christy.
Oh, I'm super excited, Rich. I love you. I love your stuff. I've followed you for years. I pinch myself that I'm actually, you know, being highlighted on your show.
Oh, gosh, I don't know about that. Come on, this is, this is a great thing. You know, I've been excited to have you on there. Since you said yes until today, I've been like, oh, this is going to be great. Going to be a great episode today, just packed full of great information and help for church leaders on a topic that I think just has huge potential for, you know, for the future of a lot of churches out there. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the chapel in the Chicagoland area. Tell us about your role there.
Well, we're a multi-site church. We have 8 campuses. And the chapel went from 1 to 4 campuses overnight. And 2 of those were via mergers. And we reacted to churches who approached us saying, hey, you know, one was struggling and one was losing their senior pastor. And do you have any way you could help us? We knew nothing about multi-site at the time. And so we really sort of pulled the Band-Aid off, went from 1 to 4, learned everything about multi-site and mergers all at once, and then we had to take a big break because obviously you have to let things settle down and get your structures in place. And then when I came along, the idea was, you know, while we really loved helping these 2 churches that we merged with, and they came to us, but do you think it's possible there are churches out there that know that we could help them? Mm. And could we proactively start those conversations and see if there are any, what we like to call kingdom win-wins out there. Hmm. And so my role is really to initiate those conversations. 1% of churches close every year in the U.S. Wow. So in the Chicagoland area, that means there are 35 churches in danger of closing every year on my watch.
Wow.
And so I try to catch them before that happened and say, do you know there are other options besides selling to a gas station or closing your doors? And that motivates me every day to try to find them before they shut down.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, that's a great stat to start with, that 1% of churches. You think in Chicagoland, 35 churches, you know, this year are on the brink of closing.
And whoever's out there, think about how many churches are in the footprint of who God has called you to reach. Do a little research. It's easy to find out how many churches are in the area God has called you. And know that 1% are in danger of closing down. And you can find out if that's 5, 10, 100.
Right.
That's why I am passionate that we partner and that we help one another and we work together to reach more people. So
what does that look like? So how do you actually partner with, an existing church? So maybe, you know, you can talk about, you know, ones that you've actually, you know, have opened today, kind of transformed, rebirthed into an existing campus, and then even future ones. How do you do that?
Well, the ones that have agreed to merge with us, one was a church of 35, no senior pastor, were approached by a gas station ready to sell, and they said, can you help us? And, you know, it started out with just dinner with everybody all at once. They were small enough. But we walk everyone through a process of sharing our DNA, finding out what's non-negotiable to them, what's non-negotiable to us. And really, we just ask the question, could we be better together? What would a partnership look like? And in some cases, it's not a good fit. And in some cases, we say, yes, we think God is, it really has to start with God leading both groups toward that. And the biggest thing is both groups have to be putting kingdom of God first over their own individual needs and wants. You know, like, oh, well, what happens to our administrator? Mm-hmm. Well, let's think bigger. What's better for the kingdom than individual people or individual churches? And both churches have to kind of lay that down as you move forward. And when you find a group that wants to investigate and wants to put the kingdom first, you can find the best solution. And sometimes it's emerged and sometimes it's not.
Right.
But I have 4 times at the chapel, and all the churches, everybody would say it was very healthy. It came out better. More people are reached. You know, the average church in America is 75. The average multi-site church attendance is 361.
Right.
So Emerge has the potential just right off the bat to reach 300 more people.
Right.
And those are just exciting. Numbers don't tell the whole story, but that just always gets me excited to see what can happen.
Now, how when you talk about being proactive, like so we went through as a church here at Liquid in this last year. Well, yeah. I guess it's been more like 15 months. We went through that process, and it was the total God story. Like, you know, it was same similar kind of story. We had, for people who don't know, who, you know, haven't heard me talk about that. You know, there were 29 people left in the church, and you know, it was 33 days from the day that we had the first phone call. Till the day that they voted. Actually, you'll get a kick out of this. At that congregational meeting where they voted, all 29 voted, yes, we're going to do that. We're standing out on the porch, or kind of on the front patio of the church afterwards, and the chairman of the board of the elders reaches into his pocket and takes out his key ring and is like, hands the key right over and was like, there it is. And from there till today, you know, it's been amazing. You know, multiple times of that, you know, where it's averaging like 800 people a weekend. It's amazing.
Awesome.
It's a total God story. And so I think for us, a part of why I am, you know, excited to have you on the phone today is, you know, for us, the having groups come to us feels like that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But then what are you doing on the proactive side without sounding like, hey, you know, your church is about to die? You know, you feel like an ambulance chaser or something like that.
Right.
What does that look like? How are you doing that?
Well, first of all, I always say it's a church that self-defines themselves as not reaching their full potential. I've met small churches that are completely on mission, and I've met large churches who feel like they're stuck or they're declining.
Right, right.
So that's a self-definition, not my definition, that you're declining, stuck, or whatever.
Right.
But if you say, hey, this is an area we feel God leading us to anyways, you can get a list of churches, and I start praying over them, honestly, and saying, God, who do you think we could, you know, really be a blessing to? And then I visit them, and I build relationships, and I say, what's going on in your church? What's your mission? What's your vision? How could we help? Mm-hmm. We're thinking of coming to this area. You know, it kills me to think of giving the local school $3,000 to $5,000 a month when that could be a staff person for you. That could be the new furnace that could help keep you guys going. If we could rent from you, or we could share space. Could we have an 11 o'clock service and you can have a 9? Or mm-hmm. You know, and you know, for a lot of churches, that is huge to think. Wow, you know. Instead of putting your service down the street and being our final death blow, you actually might be the ones to help, you know, revive us at the same time planning out new work. So I really encourage churches to always just talk to all the pastors in the area and say, we're thinking of coming here. Is there anyone who would like to talk about partnership? And that can be a wide range of options. And it's whatever that church says, wow, that would bless us. So, mm-hmm. And, you know, we have, as a chapel, we have helped way more churches than that have actually merged with us. We got into mm-hmm. 10 serious conversations in 2 years. 2 merged with us. 4 we helped merge with someone else. Because we weren't the best fit. Right. 2 ended up having to close. And 2 mutually we said, you know what, you're better kingdom on your own.
Right.
You just need a little resourcing, a little strategy, but you're on the upswing. You have a unique mission. We don't want to, you know, upset that. So when you go in with that heart that we're going to do whatever is best for the kingdom, and that's our first loyalty, then the right, you know, outcome comes out of it. If you're thinking, oh, I want to try to find a free building, or, you know, then it's not going to go well if that's what's in your mind and your heart. But you know, every church I talk to, I see the church that I grew up in that went through 10 pastors in 15 years that, you know, is not changed much. And I love every church I talk to, and I believe every church I talk to has something to bring to us. And every church we've merged with has taught us something that we've, you know, been able to take back to all of our campuses. So,
yeah, part of what I, you know, I've appreciated about kind of watching you from a distance is, which I think you're maybe, you know, I want to make sure people hear, is I think both your heart as an individual and your church's heart to just help other churches, that that is, you know, it's not, although, you know, there have been, like you say, you know, the building thing has happened, you know, that's not your primary orientation, you know, and I think you hold that in tension well, that it's like, yeah, we are actually talking with other churches, and the hope is that at some point, maybe some of these conversations will end up helping us launch new campuses, but it's not all about that. What are some of those ways that you've supported other churches, either through this effort or just even the church as a whole? You know, how has the chapel done that for churches in Chicagoland?
Well, and you're right. The chapel has really instilled this DNA in me to not be territorial, to be about the kingdom first. So I give them all the credit for that. But, you know, the chapel started an organization called Christ Together. I was just at a conference all day yesterday. We're totally free, pull all the churches together in the area. We have meetings set up where pastors can support one another, and that the idea is that it takes the whole church to present the whole gospel to the whole world.
Okay, very cool.
And that's sort of their tagline. So that is really their heart. And through, you know, all mergers come out of relationship. So the more relationships and the more pastors you know, then the more chance that if it would make sense, you'll be there. And all of our campus pastors, part of their job is to know 10 other pastors in their zip code and ask, how can we bless you? So it really is part of an overall heart to help. I mean, if it's in our power to help another church, basically we will, if we can.
Right.
You know, you have $1 million debt, we probably can't help you, but can we sit down and look at your budget and your finances and help you figure out how you can continue to pay for that $1 million mortgage or eliminate some debt or, you know, have a campaign to reduce it, or can we give you guest speakers when you're, you know, you've lost your pastor? Can we provide, you know, that for free so you don't have to pay for it? So those are all sorts of things. We've mentored pastors. We've sent small group curriculum for free. We've, you know, filled in for as guest speakers with when they're without a pastor. Whatever is in our power to help, we try. So.
Yeah. That's very cool. A couple things I just want to point out there, just make sure you don't get lost. I love what you said there about your campus pastors needing to have relationship with 10 other, you know, kind of churches and pastors in their area. I think that's huge. I think your orientation towards, hey, let's just help, and in whatever way we can do that, you know, that's reasonable. That doesn't, you know, obviously sideline your mission. I think is critical. That's you know, that's really cool.
Go
ahead.
Oh, I just think it's cool, and the chapel counts that a win. In my role, that we've helped more mergers happen with other churches. I mean, we celebrate that. I can show you the emails they sent out to the top leadership saying, woohoo, this church got to merge, and it was with someone else. You know,
right.
So I really feel like I'm a matchmaker to try to find the best fit. And if that's us, great. If it's not, great as well. So
yeah, that's very cool. Well, the kingdom wins, right? At the end of the day, I think. And I think God will honor that, right? I think that's a part of what, you know, I think that's a part of the story that God's writing there for, you know, for you guys. Now, you know, there's this idea of mergers. I think there was kind of like the old school idea of mergers where, you know, it was like two churches that maybe weren't working out very well. And they got together. Kind of talk about that. What are some of the dynamics that are at play between that style of merger and then what you're talking about?
Well, I highly recommend, you know, Jim Tomerlin and Warren Bird's book on called Better Together for all things merger. And so a lot of the stats and a lot of the information I quote, that comes from their book that I'm borrowing.
Right, exactly.
But I love the illustration that the old math of mergers was 1 + 1 = 1. You would have two dying churches of 50 people each get together, and the one would shut down, they'd move to one location, and they would expect, you would expect they would be 100, right? Well, over time, they'll shrink back to whatever the highest number between the two was individually. So they'll shrink back to 50. And so the net gain is actually -50 on that church merger.
Right.
Now, the new math that we say is 1 plus 1 equals 4. So you have a church of 75 that merges, let's say, with a church of 1,000, and both churches will grow.
The right.
75 will go to 300, and the 1,000-person church will go to 200. And so, and they stay in their same locations. Mm-hmm. They are able to become a site of the bigger church, and people just love that. They see the building that they sacrificed for, that they maybe gave lots of money for 60 years ago, that they were baptized in, that mm-hmm. they came to Christ in, that their kids were, you know, went to Sunday school. They see new families, new life, conversions, baptisms, and they may not have seen for a long time. And the first time you see someone with tears running down their eyes in the opening launch of becoming part of your church, and they say, "This is the church I always knew we could be." Mm. I mean, you are hooked to see that happen over and over for churches who feel like that would be right for them. And, you know, it's messy. It's super messy. It's a long process. I mean, the fact that you had that happen in 33 days, for anyone listening, that's not normal.
No, exactly. No, it's not normal at all.
It's more like a 7-month process or longer. But right. as you know, that church of 29, whether they stayed there or not for you guys, that has to be rewarding to see.
Oh yeah.
You know, 800 people. Did any of the original members stick?
Yeah, actually, a large percentage of that group, you know, stayed, and are, you know, probably 2/3 of them have stayed with us, which is amazing, and are, you know, serving like a dirty shirt, you know, in there like a dirty shirt, which is great. And I still, it's like one of those memories I'll cherish, you know, for the rest of my life. Opening Sunday, you know, we got our doors blown off. It was like 1,300 people showed up on opening Sunday. It was crazy. And Joe, who was... he's like the key elder on the board, you know, that he really was the guy who led the process. And, you know, and he's a part of our hospitality team. So he's like running around getting coffee and all this stuff. And, you know, he pulls me aside and he's welling up, you know, he's getting quite teary. And he said, you know, this is way more emotional than I thought it was going to be. You know, this is amazing to see, like amazing thing that God's done here. And so, and it was cool, you know, to kind of share that moment with him. And, yeah, it's exciting. You know, it's fun to be a part of, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I love it. So we're
yeah. And
to
we
it.
Put it in the category of it's definitely God at work. Like we were saying on the 33-day thing, you know, there's, cause we've launched a number of campuses and it outpaces anything we've done. Like there's no model where we can say like, yeah, let's just do that again. You know,
right.
Let's have God move in a miraculous way. And you know, it just doesn't, you know, and we've experienced a similar kind of thing where we basically had 160, 170 volunteers that went to the new campus. And you know, it launched out, and overall our attendance over all our campuses this fall is up 1,000 people. So it's not like we just moved a bunch of people into that location. You know, it ended up actually, you know, increasing our overall, which is fantastic. So, you know, that's great. When you think about, you know, when you think about the kind of the proactive side, just to get back to that a little bit, what part of that has been, you know, maybe where there's been some negative? Have you had any kind of negative interactions with other churches where they're like, why are you talking to me? Or maybe it's been all positive.
In general, pastors tend to be kind, at least to you.
Yeah.
you know, I've had a little bit of hesitation of, okay, what's going on? Or like, where's the strings attached? And so it's really great when you can share the ways you've helped churches that it didn't help you at all.
Right.
In fact, it cost you time, it cost you money, it cost you energy. So I have all those stories to tell and pastors that they can talk to, that helps. But I find a lot of times, you know, some resistance actually is a great way to build a relationship. One pastor who was quite negative at first, I just said, hey, you know, we have several hundred people in this area. They've raised the money. They're pushing us. They want a campus here. And, you know, what would you do as the church if you had that going on? And he was like, oh, yeah, I'd be looking to plant a church if people would bugging me and wanting to lead it. And I said, the difference with our approach is just saying, if we come to this area, is there a way that partnering with you help you, not hurt you, by going into the local school or park district down the street? And he's like, oh, okay, I get that. And we actually were in a long process with them that we ended up saying, you know what, I think if we come into your building, you know, and share space, we'll hurt what God is doing there. And but I just saw him yesterday and said, hey, how's it going? And don't forget, you know, if it's not, we can help. And, you know, big hugs. And this is someone who started out saying,
right,
sort of, what do you think you're doing?
Yeah.
And overall, it's just sad that the church in general can be so territorial.
Right.
When we're all on the same team.
Yeah, definitely.
And if we could see that easier, then I think there would never be pushback. It's just a conversation. There's no way I can force anybody to do anything.
Right.
And you know what I like about it, Rich, which you mentioned before, is I can make strategies and plans in my sleep and leave God out of it. But no church partnership ever happens without a move of God.
Right.
So, you know, I can knock on lots of doors, I can have lots of conversations, but God still has to show up. He has to work. He has to move in my heart, in their heart, in our hearts to want to help, maybe to overcome some major obstacles, actually, for church that wrote this and we're like, oh, we're not sure we can, you know, come through because of this. So it always is a God moment. I'm just trying to, you know, leave a lot more space for God to work and let churches know that, hey, before you think of this and this, before you close, before you let's talk. Let's
have the conversation.
How we can help you. Yeah. So let's have the conversation. It's really all, let's have the conversation. And when I've had it hundreds of times, you figure out how to do it without upsetting people. And to really, I always try to have their best interests at heart at all times. So.
Very cool. Well, two last questions before we jump in the lightning round.
Okay.
Just a practical kind of tactical thing.
Yeah.
You know, you'd mentioned early on, like, and you can get the list of churches. You know, how do you find that data? And then is there anything else, you know, you'd like to share? So those are the kind of the two, you know, two last things.
Well, it's really complicated. You go on this thing called Google.
And you I've heard of the Googles.
Yeah. And you type in, let's say, you know, what's the name of a suburb around you you might want to plant a campus in, right?
So let's say Scotch Plains.
Scotch Plains?
Yep.
Yeah. So you type into Google, churches in Scotch Plains. And
Okay.
So I'm not a techie, but I live on the internet, honestly. But there will be several sites that come up. And they will have the list of all the churches in the area. I print it out. I start praying. And then I start looking them up and seeing who needs help or who God's leading me to. And then I just start visiting and talking to them and saying, let's get coffee. So
right.
And then it's not rocket science, honestly.
A lot of conversations, a lot of just real relationship stuff, right, at that point. It's a lot of just hanging out and getting to know people. Cool.
And then what was your other question? Oh, what else?
Anything else before we jump into lightning round?
Well, I don't know who's listening, but I would just say if you're a church who would self-define themselves as struggling, stuck, I would just say don't be afraid to look around, see what churches you think are doing well or that you admire in your community, especially if they're multi-site, and call them up. Email them, say, hey, can we have a conversation? You would be surprised at how many are willing to help. And if you don't know how to do that or how to find that church, call me, contact me. I will find them for you, and I will help you get in that conversation. And if you're a church looking to plant, grow, expand, help other churches, and consider partnering as a strategy first and seeing how you can bless another church and create win-wins in your community. So if you don't know how to do that, call me, email me as well.
Very cool.
This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
All right, well, welcome to the lightning round, that part of the show where we crank through a series of questions with a church leader just to kind of get a sense of what's going on in their world. So, Christy, what's an online resource that you're using these days that's particularly helpful?
Well, like I told you, I'm not actually a very big techie. You had to teach me how to use Google Hangouts to do this, but I do. I live on the internet, and one of my philosophies is I bet someone has already figured this out. And I think we try to recreate the wheel a lot. So I'm always on the internet with almost any church issue or problem or, hey, Christy, can you help us figure out something like this? I'm always typing in, you know, Christmas evangelism strategy, or, and it's amazing what has been done before that you can find and adapt and learn from. And so I listen to a lot of podcasts, read a lot of articles every week to always get best practices. And I'm very grateful for the internet and the access to all the information for that.
Cool. What's a book you've read in the last 6 months that's had an impact, or, you know, 6 months to a year that's had an impact on your ministry?
Well, right now, Daring Greatly by Brené Brown is really impacting how my leadership and my parenting and especially the concept of giving feedback from the same side of the table, like mentally, that not right. as an adversary across the table, but being and giving feedback is just as vulnerable as receiving it. So just trying to kind of walk and show up, be seen, be heard, risk, Dare Greatly. I love what I was reading and how I can apply it. So.
Cool. What's another ministry that inspires you?
Well, Carrie Newhoff, who you've had, yes. love to meet him someday if you're listening to this. but I really am enjoying what his church is doing and reading a lot about what he is doing. I mean, I learned from Andy Stanley, North Point Life Church. All the multi-site churches who are ahead of us inspire me and kind of keep up with that world. But a ministry that people might not have heard of is Spark Good with Jason Jago. To sparkgood.com. His whole idea of applied learning environments, and read about it. We had him in to teach us about that, and we're applying it to our small group ministry. Fabulous. So
cool. Yeah, that's sparkgood.com, right?
Yep.
Is the website? Yeah, perfect.
Yep.
Great. If you had 15 minutes with any leader alive today that you could get some time with, who would you want to get some time with and why?
Well, I would have a huge list. You would be on the top of my list.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
No, but I would love to meet, now that I've read her book, I'd love to meet Brené Brown and just talk about that. Those right. ideas more, as she's a woman, a leader, and a mom. And, mm-hmm. you know, juggling all three of those things for the last 9 years is probably the biggest challenge in my life. So any woman leader who is doing that, Christine Kane, again, I'm like, how do you have fight human trafficking and two kids and be married and
right.
all over the world?
Right.
You know, so women who have gone before me are doing that well. Would love to learn from them and share that to people behind me in that journey. So
very cool. All right. So when you're kicking back, you're just going to have some, you know, fun time. You know, you're not talking to hundreds of churches about how you can help them. how do you have fun? What do you do for fun?
Well, my family, I have 2 girls, 7 and 9. So hanging out with them, is always fun. And we have a Saturday pancake breakfast every Saturday morning and family time. And, my new toy is a rebounder, a little mini tramp.
Okay.
And my new thing is I can't watch TV unless I'm jumping on it. So I'm getting a lot of exercise right now.
That's great.
But that's my new, like, kind of fun exercise thing.
Yeah, that's very cool.
But definitely just hanging out with family or going and having coffee with friends one-on-one. Mm-hmm. I'm a one-on-one person. Mm-hmm. Love to have in-depth conversations all day long. So, that would be
cool.
My fun thing.
Well, Christy, I really appreciate you being on the show today. If people want to get in touch with you, kind of learn more about the chapel, about your ministry, and how can they reach you?
I would say probably my Gmail account, so I know you're not a church reaching out to the chapel. But Christy Rutter, KristyRutter at gmail.com, or call me, 847-809-8106. And
cool.
Let's have a conversation.
Cool. And the church's website, it's just chapel.org, right?
Yep, chapel.org. So, okay. And you can contact me there at crutter@chapel.org if you want, but I will probably think you're a church in the area wanting to have a conversation with us about merging. So.
Yeah, right. Let's talk. Let's have a coffee then.
Yeah. Where are you at? New York? Yeah. Wait, that's not going to work.
Yeah, that's not going to work. Nice. Oh, that's great. Thanks so much. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you.
This is the Unseminary Podcast, stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
I am so thankful that Christy was on the phone. You know, 16 months ago, when we got the call from that other church, the first person I picked up the phone and called was Christy, because she is a practitioner. She's in the field. If you, like she said at the end, she gave you her contact information. If you're on either side of that equation or just wondering about it, you should give her a call. Super helpful. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Unseminary Podcast. Check out the show notes. There's some great resources for you in there, including an article about mergers. And, you know, have a great weekend, and we'll see you next Thursday on the Unseminary Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary Podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com, and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch, or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary Podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.